In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, the first verse, he said, "Who hath believed our report?" That's what I want to speak to you on this morning. Who hath believed our report? And he goes on to say, "And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Well, who has believed our report? That's the question he's asking. And I've wondered it for so long. Who has believed our report? I mean, we're to be light. We're to speak truth. You ever think about the people that have believed you? It's almost sad to the point of tears that when you have this glorious truth, this glorious treasure, and nobody believes you. And we're not the boy crying wolf. We have the truth. And I confess at times I believe that no one. I just believe that no one's believed our report. I've now observed over 30 years in just the ministry, and hardly anyone. I've gone through so many and seen in other works, and so many religious. But the arm of the Lord revealed? No, sir. 20 plus years in just this particular work, and a few. 20 years. A few. If it was so with our Lord, and it was, he turned back and looked, and he had about 12. He had the... Why should we expect any different? I mean, they wouldn't believe the source. Did you ever consider it? God himself, and they didn't believe him. Now, they'll always come for the smooth things. But you see, truth pierces too deep. It's too revealing. It reveals too much. It removes the veil of a man's heart. And a man values that at all costs, the veil of his heart, what's truly there. The natural man, he won't bear his soul. His heart is deceitful above all things. And it is. And there's a realm that the natural man, he dare not travel. He won't travel. I liken such to the difference between the fig leaves that Adam and Eve sewed together to cover their so-called cover their nakedness or their sin. And I liken that compared to the coat of skins that God made for them. And that's really the difference in the true and the false right there, in the light and the dark. One by man and one by God. One by death and blood. And such it takes. Death and blood. We're probably fixing to find some of that out again once again in this country. We know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And that alone, just that one phrase, it's Bible, was the closest we ever came to physical confrontation in our own church, our own midst. Do you remember? I remember it so well. And I was astounded. That one verse, just one verse about the shedding of blood and the remission of sins. The man wanted to fight. He and others like him, they're happy with their fig leaves. The fig leaves that they've sewn together, you see. And so man, he'll always take the fig leaves. He'll always take the fig leaves over the blood. And truly, the remission of sins. And you know the reason for that? Because he did it. And yet God says in the book of Jeremiah that curses a man that trusts in the arm of man, that puts his trust in man. And so they have their own little religions, and they're nice and neat. You might say they're dispensationalized. They're put together by man.
Yeah.
You see.
Did you
kind of have? And so they'll ride a rapture or a so-called rapture all the way to hell. And none dare challenge their narrative. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen men, they'll fight. You go into their dispensationalism and their rapture theories and all of these other theories that men, these other fig leaves that men have put together. You know, you can trace the rapture theory back to a little girl in Scotland who gave it to a man named Darby, who gave it to a man named Schofield, who gave it to all the Baptists and Pentecostals. Less than 200 years, you see. And so they're steeped in it. And the Holy Ghost, listen, it comes not by rote. I was talking to somebody about that word this morning. It's amazing to me. Now I've entered an age where I speak words and people look at me, words that I'm quite familiar with, and they don't understand them. The word rote, R-O-T-E. And that's really the way that people, just like if you study the parabolic tables and chemistry and these things, there's only one way to learn that stuff. That's why by rote. You just have to over and over and over. Mechanical repetition, you see. And did you know, that's the way most people I work with, a Mormon man, why he doesn't even know. He was born into it. And that rote of that thing over and over and over, you see. Much as Paul, like when he was Saul of Tarsus. Embedded in the stone of their natural minds. He got it from the Pharisees. And he became a Pharisee. And over. Well, why do you do that? Remember tradition. Over and over and over, you see. As the fig leaf, as the stony heart. But that thing has to be removed. You've got to clean the slate and start over. All things must become new. Isn't that, that's an interesting, people never talk about that part of 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things must become new. You see? And if men such as these be deceived, how shall we hear? Who can believe our report? The Lord says if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Supernaturally, many years ago, I was given a path to travel. Supernaturally. It could be no other way. Else I've just ended up fig leaf religious, you see. And it was one that's far less travel. We're told in the Bible that few there be that find it. Few. The Lord always used that word few. Many are called. Few are chosen. I'll never forget calling Brother James way back many years ago. And I told him, I said, man, brother, the road's certainly getting narrow. It's just getting so narrow. And he said, yeah, and have you noticed how few there are that are on it? You see. Many of you here at this hour now, most of you, you can look back and see those who were with us for a time. And I look back even further than that, and we look back further than that yet. As I used to say, where are they? And they were going our way. Oh, man, this is a glorious way. And yet as the road narrowed, they, as with the Lord, one by one, they went away. These sayings are are too hard for us. And the Lord turns, will you go away also? And then they'd come, you know, as far, well, you don't have to travel this road to get there. Remember? You don't have to dress this way. You don't have to eat like this. You don't have to live like this. And you don't have to, and you don't have to, and you don't have to. And all the while they missed the forest for the trees. You don't have to do anything. Amen. You see. So they'd say, well, this one's much wider, much easier to travel. And it has to be, because there's so many on it. You see. I met a colored man many years ago, and he said, I believe he was a pastor, and he said, oh, no, brother. He said, heaven is like the wagon wheel. He said, that center hub is where we're going. But he said, there's many spokes that lead to it. He said, that way is far too narrow. That way is far too narrow to be the Lord. That's just your way. I laugh at such. You know why? I lost my way many years ago. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now that's just the truth. I've told you many times before how that A.W. Pink, he said, he believed that 9 out of 10 were lost, and by the way, that 9 out of 10, he was talking about just the ones in church. After over 30 years in ministry, I know that's so. I believe that's so. And that great preacher, he ended up on an island preaching to his wife. Had more light than almost any man I've ever read. Jonathan Edwards, dismissed from his own church of over 30-year tenure. Why? He said, the road's getting too wide. Well, we won't have that narrow road and away with him. A.W. Tozer, not permitted in the denominations, so-called denominations. The Apostle Paul exclaiming in the end, I preached it some years back, only Luke is with me. You see. I spoke with one of the sisters up in Crockett, Texas, from a work that's been scattered around. And he said, they meet in now in the house as we do, as they did in the early church. We've had the big church, we've had the building, and we've done the, and now here we are back. And that's the way they meet now, and that's the way that we meet. We look at those that have gone away, and we surmise sometimes that because there was perhaps deemed morally good people, that they're okay. Well, they're okay, they live all right. But you see, upon closer examination, you find their fig leaves. It's what they believe, not what God says. In the final analysis, blood and death are the litmus test of who hath believed our report. It always must be. So to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Say, well, preacher, if it's so narrow and only few, well, God gives us the answer. Only to those whose eyes and ears have not been closed. Turn, if you would, to the New Testament. John chapter 12. The book of John chapter 12. Look at verse 37. Start in verse 37. They're talking about with Christ himself there. He said, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. You know, sometimes I ask the Lord to forgive me. I have the arrogant thought that, oh man, I can preach this and people will hear me, and they didn't hear and believe Jesus Christ, the Lord. Yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah, the saying of Isaiah the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, who hath believed our report? Do you see? Isaiah. Well, it's our text. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. Why? Because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes. You don't believe in the sovereignty of God? You better read John chapter 12. He, God, hath blinded their eyes, hardened their heart. That's not the devil. You'll see it at the end of this verse. God has, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. That's the Lord. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of them. Now you won't hear that preached. And then if you look at the next two verses, it said, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's why so many left us. How many? I know you can think of some. I know you can, one directly. He knew we were telling the truth. He knew it. But he loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. He and others like him. Fig leaves. The arm of man. They just wouldn't go. Not so, the Armenian cries. Unfair, cold-hearted. That God would blind their eyes and harden their heart. All may come. Have you heard it? And they do. And then look at those works. You see? Look at John 6:44. No man come to me, you remember? Except what? My Father in heaven, draw him. You see? And Jesus said, that's the man I'll raise up at the last day. And then and you go to one of my favorite book and one of my favorite chapters in that book. You go to Romans chapter 9 and you look at verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Did he blind some? That he makes some deaf, they don't hear. He said, God forbid. And you go to verse 21, he said, had not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and unto another dishonor? Is it not God's right? Now that's the God of this Bible. That's the narrow way. One gate, one way, one Christ, one God. And remember Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Accounts of what's going on in the world now, they'll attribute to that. You can see they cannot. They cannot. I thought this week, I'm in my daily reading, I'm in the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is when I read the book of Jeremiah at this time through the Bible, this year through, it's as no other time. It's like, wow, I don't even have to go to the computer to get my news. Jeremiah's got it for me right there. It yeah. Comes alive. The book of Jeremiah right now is a living book to me. It's wow, it's right before my eyes. It's exactly as it was. you see. But who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? I told you some weeks ago I'd received an email, and it was about some woman who had lost a loved one, and said, please keep these folks in your thoughts. I don't understand that. I told you, what does that mean? Keep them in my thoughts. What does that do? Well, it doesn't do anything. What about prayer? Prayer changes things. I can think all I want. I can look at a weenie and think it's a ribeye steak, but it's still a weenie. Or a wiener. Or whatever they call them now. I don't know. I try to stay away from them. Not the ribeye. Do you know that President Trump has asked us to pray for him? I feel remiss. In the opening prayer, I didn't. I do pray for him. I believe that. What do I know about him morally? I don't know. Probably about like David's mighty man. Or about like I used to be. But I know that God put him there. I know that God set him up for us. And right now, he's about the only mortal bastion that we have. There are those who want to kill him. You see, the line is drawn, is being drawn. I see them daily. Yeah, I know this is going to... with their masks on. A fella told me yesterday... not yesterday, this past week. He said, the Lord gave us these masks. I said, well, maybe the Muslims, I don't know, but not the Lord. You see. I observe that it's now to the point that every place I don't wear a mask, and every place I go in, I go in the large stores, Walmart, the grocery stores, I'm the only, I'm sure there has to be another one somewhere, I'm the only one without a mask. It's very troubling and disconcerting to me. Not because I'm the only one, but I mean, it doesn't bother me that I don't have one. But that there's none others that stand and go, no, I'm not going to wear it. If you don't want my business, I walked out of a place. No, if you don't want my business, you're fine with me. I'm okay. I can live without that. That's when the mark's going to come. As I said, you take the mask, you'll take the mark. You see? I walked into Walgreens a couple days ago, and this almost assured sodomite. And do you have your mask? And I said, no. He said, well, I said, yeah, I know. I know what it says. I can read. He said, well, next time you come in, you need a mask. And I went on. I got my purchase, came back, and sure enough, he's the guy that checked me out, or girl, or whatever he was. And this mask he had on was so low, I could see the piercings in his nose and his every place else. His effeminate ways. And I said, partner, your national policy is that you don't confront people that don't wear masks. And he said, well, I said, I can read fine. And so I had this confrontation. And I'm certain that such will come again. And so I say that, when are you going to come out? When are you going to come out from among them? At what point, how far do they have to go before you're going to, we're told to come out, be separate. We've done it on many other issues. You see? In truth, isn't it getting much easier to see who hath believed our report? And if you think those who've taken the mask won't take the mark, then you don't know much about the report. those chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, those that we've read of here this morning, whose eyes have been opened, and whose ears and their understanding has been opened. To them, the arm of the Lord hath been revealed. The blood washed, the born again, the converted, the righteous children of God. I spoke that we should be praising God. We should be shouting and crying. Because not everybody got this. And it's not a source of pride. It's a source of thankfulness. Because He could have left me right where I was. Like the ox in the ditch. Like the sow in the mire. Like the dog in the vomit. He could have left me right there. He could have left me in that pigsty, feigning to eat the husk that the hogs wouldn't eat. But He didn't. Who hath believed our report? Me. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. I believe it. I've lived it. A fella asked me a couple days ago. I said, I've lived it. And I gave him my testimony. And I said, it doesn't matter if you believe me. He said, God spoke to you. I said, yes. I said, it doesn't matter if you believe me. It doesn't matter. Because He did. It doesn't matter. Because He did.